Let's take our Bibles this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We have been, since the beginning of the year, preaching through part of Ephesians chapter 6, particularly about the armor of God. And I brought you several messages along these lines, and we're not going to necessarily close out this morning this idea, as the banner says behind me, having done all to stand. I've got a lot more different messages throughout other places of the Scripture where we're going to be talking about standing, but we are going to close out this portion of the armor of God this morning as we talk about the last piece of armor. And this is one a lot of times gets for doesn't get mentioned, kind of gets overlooked. But I'll be honest with you, I feel like that it's a very important piece. And I will show you that this morning as we go through here. So if you find your place, let's stand together as I read the Scripture. I'm going to begin in verse 10. I'm going to read down through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's our text verse this morning, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to be here. Now, Lord, we're turning our attention to your Word. And I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. Lord, it's the Word that changes us. It's the Word that helps us. Lord, it's the Word that helps us grow as Christians and shows us our imperfections and flaws. And Lord, helps us to be more like you. And so, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you be active in our midst. I pray that you take the Word, use it this morning, help us through it. And God, I pray if someone, as I do every week, Lord, pray that if someone doesn't know you as Savior, they would accept you today before it's eternally too late. I pray that you bless those that are saved, God, that we would take the Word of God and allow it to help us to grow and be more like you so we can please you. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll do a quick review on the different pieces of armor that we've talked about. The first piece mentioned is the loins girt about with truth, and that's referring to our moral purity. The second thing we talked about was the breastplate of righteousness, and that is doing of right according to the Word of God. Number three, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means the direction of our lives as Christians, especially as Christian warriors, should be about getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number four, the shield of faith. That is our belief and confidence in God and His Word that spurs us to action. Number five, the helmet of salvation. Being born again and the confidence that comes with knowing that you're born again. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. It's the offensive weapon of the Word of God. And then, of course, we come to the last piece of armor, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it's number seventh on the list. Of course, we know that number seven is God's number of completion, and our God is a God of order. Amen. All throughout the Scripture, everything God does, everything He sets up a certain way is for a reason. It's never by accident. It's never by happen chance. And of course, it's not surprising that the seventh piece of armor that we're going to talk about today is what's known as, I call, the fuel that drives the Christian warrior. The fuel that drives the Christian warrior. And that, of course, is that of prayer. That of prayer. Now, if you think about all of our military equipment that our country has, and by the way, we have some impressive military equipment. I like to read books. I like to see documentaries and watch videos about what our military is capable of. And let me tell you, it's pretty impressive. And we've got some pretty amazing warships. We got some pretty amazing planes and tanks and submarines and all kinds of amazing equipment. But do you realize all that equipment, all that technology, all that weaponry would be useless if there's no fuel in the tanks to drive those weapons? You know what everything has to have? It has to have a fuel source. Okay, now you may have the awesomest looking vehicle, just like that jacked up F-150 sitting in the parking lot over there, amen? You might have the coolest looking vehicle, you might have the most updated technology on that vehicle. I mean, I'm surprised at what vehicles do anymore. It's unbelievable, all the different sensors and making a vehicle do this, do that. But all that does you no good if there's no fuel in the tank. And that vehicle cannot do what it's supposed to do if it's not fueled properly. Again, you can relate that as well to our human bodies. I mean, you know what? You can be physically fit. You can have all this, have all that. But you know what? If you don't fuel your body with the proper nourishment, with the proper fuel, your body's useless, right? Yep. And so in order for things to work properly, they must have the proper fuel. And let me tell you something, folks. Our spiritual lives are no different. If we're going to be effective warriors for the cause of Christ, we must have the fuel to keep us powered up so that we can fight the enemy.
Amen.
And that fuel is, I believe, the Bible lays it out very clearly here in verse 18. It's the fuel of prayer. The fuel of prayer. Again, let me read that verse to you because there's a lot of truth contained in that verse right there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And you know what we see about what's amazing about this final weapon that completes us as the Christian warrior? Prayer is the direct link to the captain of the host. Think of it. It's the direct link to the captain. In the midst of the battle, let me tell you what we need as Christians. We need the assurance that we have the direction from the Lord. That armor, all the other pieces of armor are worn on the outside. But folks, this weapon is carried within. Amen? No doubt being properly dressed for battle is essential. That's why the Bible says to take the whole armor of God. You can't afford to miss one piece of this armor. But folks, listen again. If all you do though is just dressed properly on the outside as far as putting on all those pieces of armor, and you don't have direct contact with the commander, you know what? You're not going to be a very effective warrior. Prayer has the ability to strengthen the soldier and provide courage when it seems there's not a way. As we stand fully dressed in the armor of God, we must be familiar and willing to engage in the fuel source of the warrior, and that is prayer. Prayer. Let me give you several things that we see out of verse 18 this morning. The first thing I want you to notice is this, the attitude of prayer. The attitude of prayer. Notice the first two words of verse 18. Notice what it says, praying always. Amen? Praying always. Let me just say this. There's never an inappropriate time for you as a Christian to be praying. Amen? Never. Praying always. And let me say this, folks. We as Christians must ensure this line of communication always remains open. Listen, we need constant communication to defeat the enemy. An attack can happen at any moment from any direction, and so we must always be on guard. Let me tell you one thing about the devil. Amen? First of all, he don't play fair. I can tell you that, all right? He don't abide by any conventional rules of war, rules of engagement. He'll do anything and everything to defeat us as Christians. Let me tell you one of his tactics. He likes to attack when we least expect it. Let me tell you, some of the most devastating attacks of the enemy come without warning. Oftentimes, they'll come during times of weakness. By the way, times when we're alone, times when we're without the aid of other believers. Now, praise God. You know what? I'm all about accountability. I'm all about strength in numbers. That's why God put the Church of Jesus Christ together. Amen? Let me tell you, folks, there's something about the unity of the body of believers that, truth be told, the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against that.
Amen.
And I'm all for that. And we ought to be for that. But truth be told, we're not together like this 24/7.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, more than likely, the attack that's going to come to try to that you're going to face, that's the hardest attack you're going to face, probably is not going to come when you're in the midst of people that's going to help you. But praise God, you may not have a human beside you. You may not have a physical presence beside you. But aren't you thankful you always have a direct link to the throne room of God? Amen?
Amen.
Listen, folks, we're not being told to spend necessarily every waking moment reciting a prayer. That's not what praying always means. In fact, Jesus warns us of that type of prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Amen. There's a good truth right there. It's not a matter of repeating words over and over. That's not what prayer is. Amen. Prayer is heartfelt communication to the very God of the universe. Not just repeating stuff and saying the same thing just for the sake of saying it. In fact, the Bible, Jesus said this, "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." It's not a matter of just saying, amen. It's a matter of praying according to what the Scripture teaches us to do, and to do so in such a way, it's heartfelt communication with the Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says to pray without ceasing. And what he means by that, again, it's not that you walk around all day mumbling a prayer under your breath. That's not what he's talking about. Let me tell you a good way to describe it, okay? It's kind of like making a phone call, all right? You make a phone call, and have y'all ever made a phone call, and then you accidentally, you know, pocket dial a person, right? You call them back, and you know what? They pick up the phone, and they can hear you in the background saying whatever you're saying about them, right? No, just kidding, right? Hopefully you're not doing that. But they can hear that. But yet, you know what? You know why? Because that line of communication is open. Now let me say this. Let me tell you what prayer is. Prayer is every day beginning your day in a time of prayer, and I'm all about that. Okay? But you know what really it is? It's throughout the whole day just keeping that line open to God. Amen? Never hitting the end button. All right? Never putting that, well, we don't do that anymore. I was going to say put the phone on the hook, but we don't do that anymore, right? All right? It's just keeping that open line of communication with God all day, every day. Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. You need God more than just whatever time you spend in the morning talking to Him.
Yep.
Amen. That's just a time to get the communication lines flowing. You need God all day throughout the day.
Amen.
There's going to be times at work where you encounter things. And you know what? Again, the devil's going to want you to get frustrated. He's going to want you to lose your testimony. But no, you know what? If you got that open line of communication going on, and you can just speak to the Lord and talk to the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, folks, it makes a difference. The attitude of prayer. Praying always. Not only that, we see this. We see the abundance of prayer. Notice what he says again, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer and supplication. Folks, let me tell you something about prayer. It's a very diverse weapon. It's a very diverse weapon. And we ought to use it to its fullest extent. Amen? It's not just this, what most people think of when they say prayer. All right? Now, you know what? We're pretty good at praying for ourselves, but we need to understand something, folks. Prayer is more than that. All right? It's more than just, you know, God is good, God is great, now I lay me or down to sleep or whatever, now I lay me down to sleep type prayer. That's not what it is. Amen? It's more than just saying something like that. And by the way, it's more, truth be told, than just praying for our own self and our own needs. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's more to it than that. Amen? Truth be told, if you begin to study it all throughout the Scripture, there's quite a bit to that. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This verse covers the aspects of prayer. Here's what he says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, notice these different words being used here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So you know what you see from that verse? There's four parts to particularly praying here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All those words mean something different. All those words ought to be part of how we pray as Christians. First of all, that word supplications, it means special prayer. It means asking for needs. Prayers, it means what would be, again, look up the context of the word. General prayers, just speaking and talking to God. Worship, adoration. Intercessions, personal prayers, it means to plead the cause of another. And then giving of thanks means thankful prayer, showing appreciation. And folks, I'll just tell you this. You know what a good soldier is going to do? You know what a good army is going to do? They're going to use every aspect available to defeat the enemy. You know what? There's multiple forms of attacks. I mean, you got the ground forces, you got the air forces, you got the forces coming in from the sea. I mean, there's all kinds. Our military strategizes to figure out the best prongs of attack to defeat the enemy. Let me tell you something, folks. Spiritual warfare is no different. Amen? We got to understand. I'm telling you, that's why most Christians never pray. Because the devil works so hard at keeping us from doing it because he knows the power that's behind it. And folks, we got to learn how to use it effectively. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. By the way, you know what he's talking about that? That phrase right there? This is a whole other message in and of itself. Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Quit worrying. That's what he means. Quit fretting. Quit worrying. By the way, that's a Bible command, by the way. Be careful for nothing. Well, how do you not worry? He's going to tell you how not to do it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me tell you, a Christian that doesn't worry is a Christian that prays. Now, I'm not saying there's not concerns you have, okay? I'm not saying even sometimes you have to battle always wanting to be in this constant state of worry and frustration, but the answer to that is having a proper prayer life, amen? And so we must, as Christians, understand what he's trying to get us to see here, have the proper attitude of prayer, understand the abundance of prayer, and then, man, look at this, man, this is good, amen, I love this, the ally in prayer. Notice what he says here, a three-letter phrase that is so, so important when it comes to prayer. Amen? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Say those next three words with me, church. You ready? In the Spirit. Man, an ally in prayer. Aren't you glad God doesn't just say to us, figure this out on your own? Oh my goodness, no. God not only tells us exactly what to do, he gives us some help on trying to how to figure it out. Isn't it amazing, you know what, when someone is there to help you, how much easier it is to figure it out? I remember when I was a school teacher for 12 years in a Christian school, and part of my job was to teach upper math, and I taught algebra and geometry. And how many times, you know what, the kids would have their work in front of them, they would read it, there would be an exact illustration on how to work the problem. And then the first problem they would work would be the exact problem in the illustration, except for just a couple things changed around. I mean, it's laid out step by step. But it's amazing to me that, you know what, almost every kid needed? They needed me to come over there and help step by step explain it to them and help them figure it out for the first time. Now, you know what, truth be told, that's how most of us learn. It's through an instructor, right? And you know what? Listen, folks, there's just something about that hands-on teaching that helps us when it comes to learning things. And let me tell you something, folks. Good news for us. We have a hands-on teacher. Amen?
Amen.
It's called the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do, and we don't think about this a lot when we think about the way he works in our lives, he wants to help us in prayer. You know, truth be told, there's a wrong way to pray. Oh, yeah. Okay, again, folks, check this out. Follow it through the Scripture. Amen? Figure out what Jesus' teachings are about prayer. There's a wrong way to pray, and there's a right way to pray. Amen? And let me tell you how we need to figure it out. We have a teacher that helps us through the instruction book, the Word of God, and then we have a teacher that comes along the side and will help us in this great weapon of prayer. Amen? Let me say this about prayer. It's the purest and most spiritual activity we'll engage in. Amen. You know why? Because if you think about what it is, literally, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we are coming before the very throne of God. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Again, folks, we don't think. Amen. We don't really want to take the Scripture for what it is and believe what it is. But literally, when you come to prayer the way the Bible tells for you to, let me tell you what you're doing. You're literally coming before the throne of the Creator of the universe. Think about that for a second. I'm talking about the one who spoke this world into existence. I'm talking about that one last night when you looked up out and saw the stars in the sky with just a few words put those stars there. By the way, didn't just put them there, knows all their names. That's our God. That's just a small microcosm of his power. And he offers us a personal one-on-one audience with him. That's powerful, amen? And you know what, folks, I'm going to tell you, we have an ally who will help us as we engage in that of prayer. Amen? We're never closer to our Lord than when we come to him before him in humble, earnest prayer. And again, folks, we're there, you know why? So that we can accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish as a Christian. Let me just say this, newsflash, we can't do this without God. We cannot live the Christian life the way God wants for us. And by the way, not just wants for us, commands for us to live it, apart from doing it God's way. Ain't going to happen. Amen? Listen to this verse here. This is a powerful verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Isn't that interesting? So what he's saying is this. You know what? As a Christian, you don't really know how to pray, is what he's saying. By the way, what did the disciples come to Jesus and say to Jesus? Lord, what? Teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. No, you know what they said? Lord, teach us to pray. You know why? Because there's a certain way you're supposed to pray. That's why. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searcheth the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now let me tell you what you find. Amen. As Christians, we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Amen. All aspects of the Trinity are involved in prayer. Now, you've heard before of self-guided weapons. All right. You've heard of that before. Okay. But you know what? I'm thankful my prayers aren't self-guided. They're Spirit-guided. By the way, if you're going to take the time it requires to have a prayer life, and by the way, it requires time. It's just like anything else in the Christian life, folks. You get out of it what you put into it. Okay, if you have a casual attitude about prayer, then you know what? Truth be told, you'll never really know how to pray and you'll never really experience the benefits of having a prayer life. You've got to put work into it. You've got to make it a priority. Isn't it amazing? Well, I just don't have time to pray. Isn't it amazing we have time for the things that are important to us? Okay, if prayer is important to you, you'll make time for it. I promise you. Amen. But no, I don't have to have self-guided prayers. I can have Spirit-guided prayers. Amen. I may not know how to pray, what to pray, or who to pray for, but I'm going to tell you, folks, that's why God's given us the Spirit of God, who makes intercession for us. Without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our prayer would never reach the throne of grace. Listen, folks, a lot of times, truth be told, we want to pray selfishly. Amen. We want to just pray for things that, truth be told, just benefit us and ours. Now, I'm not against, necessarily in the right way, praying for those things. I'm not telling you not to pray for needs you have. We ought to do that. But there's more to it than just that. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. When you get the Holy Spirit of God involved in that, God is there. He hears. He knows. I'm going to tell you, there's power in that. And then here's what else we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We see the alertness in prayer. Notice what he says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. Now, that's an interesting phrase. And watching thereunto. It means to be alert. It means to be attentive. It means to be ready. And a good soldier, of course, is constantly looking for anything that might hinder or disrupt or anything that would be out of the ordinary. And he's always watching. He's always got his head on a swivel, making sure what's going on around him. And God, again, in this particular passage, tells us we are to be alert or we're to watching thereunto as we pray. Now, I think, yes, he is talking physically. Amen. And again, folks, I mean, I don't know how y'all are, but you know what? That's why I like to walk when I pray. Okay? Because I'll just be honest with you. If I try to kneel or something like that through all of my prayer time, truth be told, I'll be like just like the disciples were in the Garden of Eden. All right? Oh, I'm sorry. They were not in the Garden of Eden. Amen. The Garden of Gethsemane. I'll be just like they were. I'll be fast asleep. Okay? And so listen, you've got to, and again, there's, if you study the Scripture, it teaches this. Amen? You don't just have to be in a kneeling position to pray. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think we ought to start out there. Amen? I think we ought to start out on our face or on our knees before God. That shows humility. But truth be told, you know what? I pray best when I'm walking, when I'm moving. Amen? You know why? Part of it is because I know me. I mean, I'm sad to say, come on, we've all done it before. We've all had great intentions to spend some time in prayer, and before you know, instead of being at the throne of grace, you know, we're in la-la land. I mean, come on, that's just humanity. I get all that. But if prayer is a priority and it means something to you, you'll learn how to watch and be alert when you pray. So yes, I do believe that's referring to physically, but let me say more importantly, spiritually. Amen? Spiritually, you got to watch. You got to see what's going on. Amen? Listen, if you're going to be successful in the Christian life as a Christian warrior, you cannot walk around with your spiritual head in the sand. You've got to be alert. You've got to be aware. The Bible says to be sober and to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word sober there, you know what it's talking about? It means serious. You better take spiritual warfare seriously. By the way, folks, it's not a game. Amen? We're playing for keeps. Amen? We're playing, and I'm not necessarily playing, but we're fighting. We're working for the souls of mankind. Right? And so, listen, you got to take it seriously. It says of Brother Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. By the way, you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of when you decide you're going to go forward for God and do something for God, expect opposition. It's going to happen, amen? By the way, if you never have opposition, you're probably not accomplishing much for God. I don't get discouraged by opposition. I get encouraged by opposition because it means I'm doing something right, amen?
Amen.
And so you see the enemies here trying to stop Nehemiah, trying to hinder them from doing what God called them to do. But notice this verse. Man, this is good. Nevertheless, yes, the enemies are there. Yes, they're trying to hinder. Yes, they're bringing it to us. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Yes, you know what they did, folks? They did what they were supposed to do. They turned to their power source. Amen? They made their prayer, and not only did they make a prayer, they set a watch. They paid attention. They knew what was going on. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you, there's going to be times when that devil comes, and let me tell you, he's going to bring hell against you. I mean, the demons of hell. And he's going to unloose everything he's got to try to destroy you as a Christian warrior. Amen? And let me tell you, that's not the time to fold like a lawn chair. That's not the time to turn around and flee. That's the time, as Jesus said here, watch and pray. Amen?
Amen.
Figure out what your power source is. Oh, God, please, Lord, help me. I'm in need, God. Lord, there's this spiritual attack that's coming. Lord, I want to stand. I want to fight. But God, I got to do it through you. Amen? Watch and pray. The alertness in prayer. How about this? The anticipation of prayer. It says this, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. With all perseverance. Of course, we understand what that word persevere means. It means to keep going. Amen? You can't stop. I mean, truth be told, folks, let's be honest. We live in an instant generation. Right? We want it when we want it. I mean, we have drive-through banks, drive-through restaurants, drive-through wedding chapels, believe it or not. And yeah, even drive-through church services. Okay? We demand instant gratification. Let me tell you, that ain't how prayer works. God's time is not our time. Okay? We must be willing to pray until we hear from God. A famous preacher said this, I love this quote, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, it's getting God's will done on earth. And let me tell you something, folks. One thing I've learned about God. Amen? His timing is always best. We think we got this thing figured out. Okay? We've got the plan. All right? We're the man with the plan. Right? I mean, we got this figured out. It's going to work like this, just like this. And by the way, to some aspects of it, there's nothing wrong with planning. Okay? There's nothing wrong with having a vision, having a direction. But truth be told, you know what I found out? Even when I think I know what God's will is, God usually almost always surprises me. Okay? And says, you know what, son, I appreciate that eagerness there, but you know what? That's not my plan. Okay? Here's my plan. Here's my time. Let me tell you something, folks. Every time I've been patient and waited on God, it's always worked out for the best. Always. Amen? I tell the story over and over. I know you get tired of hearing it, but it's a perfect illustration. Okay? Just like when we were trying to find the church property. I remember the piece of property we found that we thought was it. I mean, we prayed, we fasted, we walked on that prayer, we walked on that property, my wife and I, you know, begging God, give it to us. Man, it was so close to almost getting it. And at the last minute, boom, the door slammed. I'll be honest with you. I think I told the men this the other night at the Bible study. I copped an attitude with God. I remember that when I got that no, I remember walking out in the woods and fussing with God a little bit. But you know what? Thank the Lord. Okay, by the way, God always wins. Amen, right? I didn't fuss long. I confessed my bad attitude and said, okay, God, you know best. Amen? And by the way, you know what? Not only did God give us something better, where exactly He wanted it at, but because we waited on God, He allowed us not to just get church property, He allowed us to get our own personal property. All because God says, you know what, I appreciate your prayers, but that's not my plan. You must persevere in prayer. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's one thing you got to learn as a Christian. I mean, yes, you got to pray. Yes, you got to lean on God. But truth be told, you got to persevere. You got to keep praying. You got to pray it through, is what the old timers used to say. Amen? I look through the scripture and we see how that the book of Acts, a lot of prayer meetings were going in the book of Acts. And I love this one. I love the prayer meeting when they were praying for Peter to get out of prison. I mean, they were praying, they were persevering, but you know what? They didn't expect a result. I mean, yeah, oh Lord, please release Peter, please release Peter. When God released Peter and he come knocking at the door and the little damsel come say, hey, Peter's at the door. Oh, you're crazy, kid. It's just got to be his ghost. I mean, come on, really? I mean, Peter's ghost? I mean, you've been praying for him to get released, right? I get it, folks. I understand. Sometimes it's hard to do, but yes, we must persevere. I remember a particular prayer promise I just claimed within the last couple weeks. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I like that prayer promise. Amen? By the way, I don't know about you. I need God's wisdom. I cannot do this on my own. Amen. I can't be the husband I need to be, the father I need to be, the pastor I need to be. Any relationship in my life, I cannot do it on my own. You know what I'll do? I'll mess it all up. By the way, I've messed enough things up in my life. I don't want to keep going down that path. Amen. So you know what I need? I need the wisdom of God. But guess what? That's not where that verse ends. Or that verse ends, but here's what the next verse says. But, okay, so here you go. You want the wisdom, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let no man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Man, that's a powerful truth. Amen. You need wisdom? Ask God for it. But you know what? When you ask him for it, you better ask in faith. You better believe that if you ask it, he'll give it to you and not waver. Amen. What a wonderful prayer promise. So let me tell you what we find. We find when we're persistent in prayer, believing as we pray. Let me tell you, as a Christian, you can see great things happen for the Lord. Amen. How about this? Look at the aim of prayer. The aim of prayer. It says this, watching thereunto with all perseverance. And look at this last phrase. And supplications for all saints. Supplications for all saints. Folks, I'm glad we're not in this battle alone. Amen? There are many who are engaged with the enemy. And it's so important as Christians that we lift up one another in prayer. Amen? That we lift up one another in prayer. Listen, as we pray for each other, let me tell you what we do. We help each other. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, when the Holy Spirit burdens your heart to pray for somebody, there's a reason for that. Okay? There's a reason for that. That's exactly what he's saying there. Supplications for all saints. From time to time, God's going to bring someone on your heart. God's going to put someone on your mind. And you know what? There's a reason for that. Don't ignore that. Somebody at that time needs your prayer. Think of just this week, that happened just this week. Friday, I got a text, and our missionary, or our church planter, Brother James Young, who's going to be planting that church in Jasper. Of course, I think when he was here, he kind of told us a little bit about it. But his little daughter, Julia, she was born with a health condition. And they were up at a meeting up in northern Indiana, and the baby wasn't feeling right. They called Riley, and they said, get her to the hospital. They got her to the Children's Hospital in Fort Wayne. Come to find out she has meningitis. I'm going to tell you, and it was serious, and still serious. But then we got that text, and then about an hour later, we have him text us, please, please play right now. They think that she has a brain bleed. And let me tell you, folks, I personally went to prayer. All my preacher friends that were on that prayer line said, we're getting people to pray right now. And you know, within 30 minutes, the results of that changed. Within 30 minutes. Now, the baby's still in the hospital. She's still got some recovery, but it wasn't near as serious as what it could have been. Amen? You know what that's called, folks? The power of prayer. Amen? And I understand, God doesn't always choose to do that. He's God. He can do what He wants. Okay? God's still good whether or not little baby Julie gets out of that hospital or doesn't get out of that hospital. God's still good whether I live a life with or without cancer. God's still good no matter what. He's still God. Amen? Never forget that. But I'll just say this, folks. I've seen prayer change a lot of things. Prayer for all saints. And there's going to be some times in your life, folks, you know what? You're going to need that. And so let me just say this. When you get a message that, hey, so-and-so needs prayer, okay, pray like it was your son or daughter that needed prayer. Okay? When that person prays, because that's what we're supposed to do, amen? We're supposed to pray for all saints. Now I'm going to give you one more point here, and I'm going to... we're going to turn out of Ephesians chapter 6. And this really kind of sums up what it is as Christians, the power of prayer. And I call this one the attack of prayer. The attack of prayer. Take your Bibles and flip them. I'm going to have you turn to two different places. The first one I have you turn to is Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to show you here one avenue of prayer that I'm going to tell you folks literally sends shockwaves to the spirit world. Okay? And that is the attack of prayer, particularly when it's talking about united prayer. The attack of prayer. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Now, this is Jesus here, and he is talking to his disciples, and a lot of times this verse gets misinterpreted. And here's what the Bible says, "And I say unto thee," Matthew 16, 18, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, a lot of false doctrines coming out of that verse. But if you study the context of that, the proclamation Peter just made in the previous verses is that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus was saying, upon this rock. And if you look up those words, okay, they mean something. They mean something a little different than what most people think. Jesus, when he's talking about this rock, he's talking about the fact of himself. Amen? Upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church. Amen? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But when he says, "Thou art Peter," he's talking about a little rock. Okay, when he's talking about himself, he's talking about a great rock. And what he's saying is this: I'm going to build myself upon this church. Peter, you're going to be a part of that. But you know what? It's going to be built upon the foundation of myself, is what Jesus was saying here. Now, verse 19, and this is where I'm going with this prayer promise of the attack of prayer. Now, notice, very, very interesting. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What's he talking about there? All right, well, let me just tell you what he's not talking about. He's not saying Peter was the first pope. I can tell you that. Not what he's saying. What he's referring to is the prophecy in the book of Acts, where Peter preaches at the day of Pentecost, and the church of Jesus Christ got its explosion of a start there in the book of Acts. He's talking about that all those people that got saved, remember what the Bible says? There were 3,000 saved, baptized, added to the church. That's the prophecy he's referring to. And Peter was the one God used to preach that first sermon that kick-started the first church of Jerusalem. Amen? So that's what he's talking about. But notice here, and here's where I'm going with the prayer thing. Look what it says. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, take your Bible, flip over to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to see here another further explanation of this. And folks, let me tell you what the context of this is. The context of this is united prayer. And let me tell you something. In the book of Acts, they experienced this exactly the way Jesus said they would. Matthew chapter 18. Notice what he says. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And I know we quote that verse to talk about, you know, Jesus being in the midst of his church. And he is. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he walks amongst the midst of his churches. But that particular verse right there, "where two or three are gathered in my name," he's talking about united prayer. That's the context of it. And let me show you the attack of united prayer, the power of united prayer. Notice that word "bind," that word "bind." That word carries the notion of securing or protecting. Let me tell you what united prayer can do, folks. It can be used to create a hedge of protection for people, events, or circumstances. God, in response to united prayer, can restrict the powers of Satan and can protect the church as it marches forward to evangelize the world. Again, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This type of prayer has ripple effects in the spirit world. Amen? It's called spiritual warfare. And God gives His church the power, when we come together, united prayer, to be able to bind things in the spirit world. Not only that, He also says to loose. That word carries the idea of destroying or dissolving. Again, this type of prayer can be used to ask God to dissolve or destroy things that could hinder the work of God. God, in response to united prayer, will remove obstacles that prevent the spreading of the gospel. I'm going to tell you, folks, let me tell you something, folks. That is a powerful weapon that the Church of Jesus Christ has access to. Amen? It's like literally having the nuclear codes for the spirit world. That's what he's talking about. And again, that because of the power of that, why do you think Satan works as hard as he does to do what he does to the Church of Jesus Christ? The power of united prayer is activated by agreement. Notice again what Jesus said, if you agree. Now, what does that mean? It's a safeguard to prevent someone from misusing the power of united prayer for selfish or sinful purposes. Perhaps someone would come wanting to pray for something that is obviously in conflict with Scripture. Well, the local body of believers could not agree to do it. All of our prayer requests, folks, should be asked in Jesus' name and be safely within the revealed will of God. There are certain things, truth be told, you don't even have to pray about because the Bible either commands against it or not against it, to do it or not to do it. By the way, if it is contrary to the Word of God, you don't have to pray about it because the Bible already says to either to do it or not to do it.
Amen.
How many times Christians try justifying their sin? Well, you know, I'm just going to pray about whether or not God wants me to do that. Folks, listen, again, if the Bible says to do it, you don't need to pray about it because the Word of God is what we're supposed to live by. Amen. But we see here this united prayer is activated by agreement. And then what else do we see? We see that it's activated by importunity. That word ask, if you look that up, it has it's in the linear. And it just means to continue to ask. It means to ask and to ask and to ask and to ask. This idea of persevering in prayer. Again, if you go to the book of Acts, you know what you find? You find that what they were praying for weren't always answered the exact time they prayed for it. Remember what the disciples did and the apostles and the early Christians for before the day of Pentecost was fully come? For 10 days, 10 days they were in that upper room. You know what they were doing in that upper room? Praying. It took 10 days of prayer for the fullness of the Spirit to come upon them, for them to go out and evangelize and start turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now listen, folks, you've just got to learn to practice importunity in prayer. Jesus gave us illustrations of that in Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18. The first illustration was of that friend who came at midnight and wanted some loaves to help feed his friend. And here's what the Bible says. It says this, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend. Some friend, right? I mean, I feel like if someone come and bang on my door and said, hey, I need this, I probably would do it, okay? But no, it doesn't say he's going to give him this because he's his friend. He says because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then Jesus goes to give on a prayer promise to those who practice importunity. Folks, listen to me. You got to learn to get a hold of God. Amen? You got to learn to just ask God and ask God. And again, I'm talking about praying properly, praying within the will of God, praying for something that you know is right and proper to pray for. Amen? Now listen, I could pray to God all I wanted for God to give me a brand new Ferrari, but He's not going to answer that prayer. Amen? All right, well, I'm going to ask. That's not the purpose of it. Okay? God is not a genie in a bottle. God doesn't pop out and is there to grant us anything we want. That's not what prayer's for. Amen? But importunity, the power of united prayer to ask and to keep asking God and begging God for that miracle. Amen? And then let me say this about the united prayer. It's assured to succeed. Notice what Jesus said, Matthew 18:19. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now listen, folks, God has promised in His Word that the promise of assured success. I'm telling you, when you pray, use united prayer to pray, it works when we follow the Bible formula. And that's why it's so important that we do that around here. When we have times of like our program, our special Sundays, or we're going to have a special meeting, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bathe that thing in prayer. The church is going to come together. We're going to agree on what we're praying for, and we're going to ask God to do something great in our midst. Not for selfish reasons, but for reasons that's going to matter for eternity. Amen? The attack of prayer. Let me just say this. Prayer is essential to defeat the enemy. You will never be the Christian warrior God wants you to be if you do not learn to pray. Brother Billy Sunday, very, very famous evangelist of yesteryear. In fact, Billy Sunday, believe it or not, preached in Princeton. He preached in this town. In fact, he had a habit when he'd go to a place, he'd get so fired up, he'd pick a pulpit up and slam it down. He was known, literally, for breaking church pulpits. So when he came here to Princeton and preached right down the street on the property where Miss Mary and some of the others live at down there, when the church was down there, Dr. Porter, who pastored at the time, you know what he did? He nailed his pulpit to the platform. So when Billy Sunday he couldn't do it because Dr. Porter nailed it to the platform. Amen. But here's what Billy Sunday said. If you are strangers to prayer, you are strangers to power. Man, let me say that again. Amen. I don't know how many of you got that or not, but that's a good statement. If you are strangers to prayer, you are strangers to power. And by that, I don't mean power with men. I mean having the power of God. Amen. Not for selfish reasons. Not so you can walk around and acting like a person. Everybody looks at you and think that you're this or you're that. No, I'm talking about so you can have the power to help influence people for eternity. By the way, that's what the power of God is. Amen? It's to not walk around and doing this and doing that for selfish reasons. It's so you have the power of influence so people will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? So folks, I know I said a lot to you this morning. I taught you a lot of doctrine this morning. Amen? But you know what we've got to learn to do as the Christian warrior? We've got to learn to pray always. The attitude of prayer, the abundance of prayer, the ally in prayer, alertness in prayer, anticipation in prayer, aim of prayer, and the attack of prayer. Let's pray.